Would you take your Bibles and turn again to Proverbs chapter 1? This is like a three-part section in the middle of a larger series on gleanings from the book of Proverbs, but the call of wisdom, and we're going to expand beyond chapter 1 a little bit this morning. Then we'll be taking a break for Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, and then we've got some separate messages on some of the great themes in Proverbs we hope to follow up with in April, May, as we are allowed. So Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 10 verses, and then we'll skip over to verses 20 and 23. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be as an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And then moving over to verse 20, wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She utters her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. And as we end that scripture reading that basically embraces four areas that we've been talking about in Proverbs chapter 1. The first four verses, the continual voice of the Proverbs. It's always available to man. Then in verses 5 through 9, the call to hear, to learn, and to get wise counsel. There's a purpose to all of this. And there's things we need to be doing, making sure we hear and pay attention, make sure we're learning and gaining and to know how to apply these things. But this might have a wonderful effect on all of mankind, except there's competing voices. Others who can sound so good, who can promise so much, who can allure in various ways to the mind and heart, to the body, competing voices in verses 10 through 19 saying, no, there's another way. Now, we can get ahead of others. We can be better than that. Let's work together. Let's share our stuff, and let's go out there and make merchandise out of people. Let's not be afraid to do a little damage out there to get what we want. But then the chapter ends with one of the great calls of wisdom to make right choices. And that's the thing, is what we learn things, and we can even learn how to do things, but to be compelled to make the right choice. That's where many a great sermon maybe has gone unused, because people didn't make choices and decisions. There's things to start doing, there's things to stop doing, there's things to do better, and we need to hear that God's voice is continually calling us to that. It's a thing that somebody could get bored of hearing. I hope this message isn't too tedious today. I'm sharing from chapter 1, chapter 8, and chapter 9. And putting them all together, there's a slight spacing here in the Proverbs, but putting them right together in one message, you might say, oh man, why are you going on and on about this? Well, that's because the competing voices go on and on about what they want you to do. And every day you wake up to a choice to make. Are you going to listen to God's word? Are you going to receive his grace and mercy and do the right thing with that grace and mercy? Are you going to take truth and make it a part of you? And so every day this debate goes on. Every day people either choose yes or no to God, yes or no to the world, and to themselves and their more natural carnal desires. Every day. This isn't just a one-time thing. Yeah, I've decided to follow Jesus. You just let me know if there's anything you want me to do. I hope he doesn't have anything for me to do. You know, I just want promises. I don't want responsibilities. But these responsibilities are packed with promise. Prosperity. Joy. You know, in the Old Testament, this word blessed, like in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands not in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That word blessed doesn't just mean you're going to feel good. It doesn't mean you're going to get rich. What it means is when you're done going down life's path and you have not gone these other variant, deviant ways, you're going to be so glad you did. Because the word literally means in the Hebrew to walk straight on. And just picture a path. If you stay on the path, it's high, good ground. If you get off the path, it's swamps, quicksand, crocodiles, you just name it. Snakes. I see at least one face out there that doesn't like crocodiles. That's me. I always was terrified as a child. All the jungle movies and the crocodiles always eating people. Got a little complex there. I moved to Wisconsin because I don't think there's any crocodiles except at the Milwaukee Zoo. So anyways, get back on the trail here. I'm going to try to let those voices speak today. I'm going to describe to you a little bit of what they're saying to us. But the call of wisdom to make the right choices. We have here the first paragraph. If you've been following the series, if you're keeping the notes or reviewing them, we talked about personification. And in the Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a woman, a godly woman, a kinswoman, that godly mother, that godly grandmother, that godly aunt, that godly sister who's trying to talk sense and protect their loved ones from terrible things. And so we have that I call Lady Wisdom. But it's extended into the New Testament as the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a progression of how it's revealed. The godly kinswoman is a beautiful picture. But we come to Christ, and the Scriptures, Old and New Testament alike, keep pointing us to Christ as the wonderful counselor. He is the one in whom all the treasures of wisdom are hid. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And back in a previous message, we had talked about this personification. And you may think, if you're caring to work with the notes, that this paragraph just repeats it. But actually, I added more references. I have other material if you want to look at that. I'm not going to reiterate any of that right now. But I'm going to take a particular statement from Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to let Lady Wisdom talk here. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple, in other words, when the simple turn off the path and go some other direction, this shall slay them. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. That false, temporary appearance of prosperity will destroy many people who think to gain is godliness. That whoever dies with the most stuff wins. That false appearance of prosperity is enough to harden them, blind them, and they'll go to destruction. But Lady Wisdom continues to say, but whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Okay, these are those wrap-up verses at the end of her instruction. And calamity is waiting. Those who choose to listen to the competing voices of the sinful world and follow the ways of the ungodly. We are taught a twofold sin. Number one, we reject or ignore the counsel of the Lord. And then we turn to false counsel and ungodly partnerships. Jeremiah 2:13 basically says this, "My people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And number two, they have dug for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Like I said, every day you wake up, there's a choice. Drink from the well of the Lord or drink from the cisterns that you and the world have sort of brought together. The drainage of the world just will go into that cistern and it won't even hold that. Now, the destruction of fools generally comes through their own doing. They make their own rope to be hung with. They build their own scaffolding to be hung on. Their ways are self-destructive. They turn from God's ways. They go to the paths of death. Now, you know, we had said last time, surely a snare is set in vain in the sight of any bird. And you'd like to think that if we just discuss this, if we just take our kids and just tell them, you know, don't do the things I did here, you do better. And it just doesn't usually work that way. No, kids want to learn for themselves. You know, there are exceptions. There are exceptions. Mark Twain talked about how stupid his father was. When he was 15, or 16, he thought his father was so ignorant. He was ashamed of him. And then at about age 21, he says, "It's amazing how smart my father got." Well, something about the ears to hear. Short-lived prosperity, I've mentioned, it hardens hearts. It blinds eyes. And we just think we can figure it out ourselves. We trust somebody else who has enticed us to think they're smarter. But bottom line is, God's always smarter than us. "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. As heavens are higher than the earth." Well, but the people who choose God's ways have God's blessing, God's protection, and prosperity. Their love for the Lord delivers them from the bondage of fear. Now, when we say that those who love the Lord and follow the Lord can live without fear, it doesn't mean they won't have bad things happen. Okay? We're not saying that godly people don't have enemies and don't have problems and aren't persecuted. But the good part is that they do not have to fear anything that man or devil dishes out in this world. You do not have to fear. And fear is the great enemy. Wasn't that General Douglas MacArthur said something like that? "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." It's paralyzing, it's debilitating, it's terrorizing. Well, God's given his people treasure. God has given them things like peace of mind, hope for an eternal future that man cannot take away. And we've just got a lovely assortment of scriptures here. You may know some of them, but here's a nice place where you can just review them, bask yourself in them. And if you don't know them, you're in for wonderful treats. If you'll do what he says, trust him, follow him, lean not to your own understanding, many great things for you. We see what people have and we envy them, but if we saw what they enjoyed, we'd pity them. And many people cannot enjoy their so-called prosperity because of anxiety, fear, tension, divided homes, enemies, and just losses, many threatening things they can't enjoy. But when things like that try to happen to us, we cast our burden on the Lord. He cares for us. His shoulders are big for it. He's willing and able to take our burdens and deliver us from our fears. Okay, I want to go to Proverbs 8. And here, God's wisdom we see the virtues revealed. I think when people try to sell themselves and promote themselves, it gets a little yicky. That's a technical Hebrew term. But no, it gets a little gag reflex to see people promote themselves. But when God promotes himself, he's just trying to help you catch up to him. You need to know what a great offer he's making in himself, who he is, and not just what he does. So Lady Wisdom's going to give a great promotion here. And what I hope you'll find is that Lady Wisdom is incomparable. There's nothing like this. Let me read the first five verses of Proverbs 8. Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She stands in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Now let me stop there. And if we had been just going straight through Proverbs, we would have 5, 6, and 7, the chapters 5, 6, and 7, that mostly talk about the call of a strange woman, the harlot, the woman that she's none of your business. She's off limits. She's not yours. But she offers herself as though she was. And with many different enticing ways, and there's nothing more powerful, I suppose, than to think of this physical seduction. It's used all over the place today in entertainment and in various areas of commerce and trade and advertising and all this. Selling sex. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, because as that powerful influence reaches men, and unfortunately many women are falling prey to this same kind of thing, but this is really a picture of Satan. And his allurements span from the super intellectual to the materialistic to atheistic to spiritism, spiritual things in dark places. I could break that down into many more categories. But here, as you might find yourself turning from left to right, looking in chapters 5 and 6 and 7, and there's something saying, no, wait, don't go that way, don't go there. And then you hear Lady Wisdom saying, no, here is the way. I offer you truth. I offer you peace. I offer you true prosperity and the blessing of the Lord. Well, as wisdom calls for the attention, trust, and loyalty of men, it must be understood that nothing rivals the virtues of God's wisdom. You just got to look at this in the big picture. Nothing outweighs the values of Lady Wisdom, and nothing outweighs the values of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is truly incomparable. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Ephesians 3:8, Paul says, I'm called to go to the Gentiles and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, by unsearchable, it doesn't mean you shouldn't search. It's just saying you'll never get to the end of it. If you know what cornucopia is, it's supposedly this horn-shaped thing that fruits coming out of it, vegetables, and it never ends. The more you take, the more it just keeps coming and coming. That's what Jesus is like. There's that one place it says, and of his grace have we all received, and grace for grace, in John chapter 1, verse 16. That grace for grace is kind of a cornucopia. It's grace after grace, after grace, after grace, after grace. And shall I go on? But no, you'll never wear out his resources. You'll never wear out his grace. You'll never wear out his mercies. They endure forever. Nobody else can even give what they promise, let alone sustain it. for any length of time. Most promises today only last the length of an election. Well, I turn to Proverbs chapter 8, verses 6 through 9. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward, crooked, or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understands, and right to them that find knowledge. I love here that God's words of wisdom are pure and holy. They will be understood by those who seek God with a pure heart. We have some very important references there about the purity of the heart, and you can tell who is possessed of the wisdom of God, not by their smarts talking, but by their heart walking. They're filled with compassion and patience, and they're impartial, and they're not caught up in the ugly debate form that is in this world. So the wisdom comes out of our life, shows it's from God when it's promoting peace. Promoting peace first with God, then within with ourselves, and then hopefully as much as we can with one another. And so I used to marvel at verse 9 because it says, they are all plain to him that understands. Well, to me, that sounded like, duh. Yeah, if you understand, of course it's plain. So how do I understand? Well, what I think I get from this is that if you are pure of heart in your intentions, if you have the God-like, Christ-like motives to learn his word, it falls into place. You know, children have a way of amazing us. They'll see something flat out easy to see that we didn't see. I remember the story of a big, big dump truck, some big construction thing. It was a little oversized, and it went under a bridge thinking, oh, I can make it, and it got wedged. And cars were stopped, police came, tow trucks were there, and they're waving everybody to go back, you know, and they're trying to somehow get this dump truck unstuck. A little boy walks up to the policeman. Policeman's first response is, go away, boy, you bother me. But he says, why don't you let the air out of the tires? Get out of here, kid. All right, guys, get the air out of those tires. Now, it's just like that. And I remember a movie one time, and a pastor had lost his way. He was preaching legalistically. He was preaching under the pressures of people who wanted him to preach certain things and didn't want him to preach certain things. And he was out for a walk, and a little child came up to him. They were talking. And I forget now what he said, but the child's response was, I didn't know God was for sale. And just like that, it changed that man's heart. And he defied the powers that be in his church, and he started preaching real truth, real love, real grace. He started doing things differently, but a child just walked up and says, I didn't know God was for sale. Wish I could remember what he said, but that's the point. So if you have no guile, God's telling some very plain truth. Oh, yes, there's mysteries. Yes, there's prophecies. There's things that just have to be revealed to us. But there's other things that are just a little too simple for complicated adults. They surely think there'll be another translation that'll fix this, and it doesn't really mean that. Or surely we'll use some other references and use them against that verse so we don't let that verse mean what it means. And, oh, we do this and at high levels. So I've just loved the simplicity of verse 9. They are all plain to him that understands. And understanding has to do with wanting to do the will of God. And Jesus said, if any man will do his will, if any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of my doctrine, whether I speak of myself or of him that sent me. Yes, if we're willing to obey, if we're willing to love God and become his little children, many more things will become clear to us. We have to let down the security system we have that protects us from being confronted about things that we really, really don't want to change. Well, so I go to Proverbs 8, verses 12 through 21. Oops, excuse me, I got ahead of myself, 10 and 11. Proverbs 8, 10 and 11. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Back to that word, incomparable. The God's words of wisdom are worth more than all worldly wealth. And again, we got a lovely string of verses there that back this up, fortify it. If we'll just believe it, we will proportion our lives accordingly, that we will not just lay up treasure on earth where moth doth eat and rust does corrupt and men break through and steal. We'll lay up treasure in heaven where the moth cannot eat, the rust cannot corrupt, and the thieves cannot break through and steal. God has things to give you that the world can't take away. And we need to put them at a high priority in our life. Now verses 12 through 21, a little bit longer section here. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward, crooked mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. God's word, when received, brings wisdom, skill, power, and fruitfulness in a person's life, and also in the life of a society of people. Did you notice that where it says, by me, kings rule? Yeah, if everybody would take it to heart, everybody, whole nations would benefit. I believe that we are living in a nation that has benefited from the wisdom of God. Not everybody in it has been Christians. Certainly no one's been perfect. But if you look at the influence of the Bible on the founding years of our country, if you look at things that were done by our presidents, by Congress, you know the first Bibles ever printed in this country was an act of Congress. Church used to be held on Sundays in the Capitol building. So the next time they say separation of church and state, tell them, go back and get your information right. And you, if you need a fact checker, we'll supply one for you. Well, this is pretty powerful. It affects my substance in this life and my rewards in the life to come. It makes my life fruitful, meaningful. And according to Psalm 1, if I delight myself in the law of the Lord and in his law do I meditate day and night, I will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And by the way, rivers of water is referring to an orchard that has irrigation channels. Because you don't find too many trees planted by more than one river. But the rivulets, it's a picture of a well-watered orchard with these little canals for irrigating. And they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water that brings forth their fruit in their season. Their leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever they do shall prosper. Now, mind you, whatsoever they do that they're supposed to be doing shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things that I should be doing through Christ who strengthens me. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Well, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, which is an allegorical way of saying, get in my word, hear from me. Seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive your sin and heal your land. Then there's verses 22 through 31 of Proverbs 8. Verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. I was set up from everlasting and from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now he took a great length of time, I should say Lady Wisdom, took a great length of time to describe the creation, possibly the flood and the remaking of the world afterwards. But before any of that, I was there by him. And we have in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. And then in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with him, with God. And nothing And nothing was made except that he made it, is what I'm trying to say here, and I blanked out. Forgive me. I'll correct myself here. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You see, Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus has been delegated the power of God to do the will of the Father. And one thing I'd like to say to you about wisdom here is that God's words of wisdom are eternal and foundation to the fabric of the universe. If you took God's word out of the universe, as if you could, people try to take it just out of schools or out of their homes or out of their personal life or out of public life. They're trying, and there's an awful warning to those nations that want to forget God, they're going to end up in the grave. But if you could pull the Word of God out of the universe would fall apart. It's essentially built on the Word of God. No wonder he knows what he's talking about. He was there, and he did it. And he gave us a little manual that we can work with, but he has it all. Always had it. The same one who could create galaxies, solar systems, planets, and environmental ecosystems, and all of that. It's the same one who says, I got a plan for your life. I can help you run your life. I can cause you to work with me, work with the universe I've given you. And these attempts to put the universe above God and his word, these attempts to put the creation over the creator, they talk about the universe helps them. They do not know what they're talking about. Because if the universe is helping them, it's the God of the universe and his son, Jesus Christ, and his spirit and his word that are the reasons we have blessings flowing today. Well, verses 32 to 36. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. Now, did you catch those references about the door? You're to watch daily at his gates, waiting at the posts of his doors. And Jesus says, ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. This gets personal. We're not looking for abstract wisdom and knowledge. We're looking for the knowledge of God, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. God's words of wisdom are vitally needed by men in every generation. The words of God are necessary not only for wisdom to live in this world, but for eternal salvation. Men will perish if they reject, if they ignore the words of God. Now, I've somewhat covered the thoughts in John chapter 1 that are in this list of references. You know, there in verse 14 of John 1, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then I've already said it, but let me say it again. And of His grace have we all received, and grace for grace, grace after grace, grace after grace, grace after grace. For the law came by Moses, and that's good, but better yet, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to do the same detailed walk through Proverbs 9, but I'm just going to tell you. You can look it up. The first 12 verses, Lady Wisdom, again calls men to follow a well-prepared path in life. God has a path for us. He has prepared it. He knows what He's talking about, and He's got the ability to bless it and use it. And this path will provide many well-prepared blessings. You ever heard that little story that somebody goes to heaven? And no, this isn't the one about the Presbyterians and the Lutherans. No, this one, as they're getting shown around heaven, they see these big warehouses just full of wonderful things. And someone says, what's all the warehouses for? Why this? Well, that's all the things God prepared in blessing people, but they never sought Him and asked for them. Yeah, can you imagine? God has so much more to show us. We can be as close to Him as we want to be. And He's prepared these blessings. Now, there's a proverb that used to bug me. We're not far away. Chapter 10 and verse 22. Chapter 10, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. I used to have a problem saying, Lord, really? You've already told us many troubles come to the righteous, and Jesus Himself was a man of sorrows, and sorrows, troubles, what do you mean He adds no sorrows with it? But I felt like the Lord directed me to say, we're talking about the end game. We're talking about the end result. We're talking about when all the tears have been dried. New heavens, new earth, new bodies, no devil, no temptation, no death, no pain. Now, you know what? There's going to be no sorrows. There's going to be no sorrows. The end result is what really counts. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. It is necessary for us to go through trials and tribulations. They're pictured as gold that's being refined in fire, getting rid of the dross. Perfecting us, making us more like Jesus, putting us in the position where we can be used to help others who suffer and show them the comfort wherewith we were comforted so that they can know how God will comfort them. This is all part of the necessary on-job training we're getting. But when it's all done, when the rewards are handed out, you know, I remember bonus checks were due at a place that I worked and people had hopes. You know, oh boy, this is going to be great. And then the face, when they'd open up, is that all? Is that it? Do you realize that's not going to happen in heaven? Nobody's going to say, well, I didn't get enough, or I thought it'd be better than this. The fact is, the next world for us is so wonderful, we can't even appreciate it being in these bodies and in this world with our present mindset. We got to die to see it. We've got to get a new body to handle the. It would be a horrible strain to the old body to see the blessings of heaven. It would just kill you. We got to get a new body to be fit to receive it. Now, I'm telling you in faith, I'm telling you from Scripture, that you'll never be sorry. And one old hymn says, or song, it says, by and by when we look at his face, wonderful face, by and by when we look at his face, I'll wish I had given him more. Proverbs, the voice of Christ, if you will, is showing you how to not only give him more of yourself, but to gain more of him, to be blessed more. And believe me, the end results, there will be no sorrow. No sorrow with it. There is this storage place I told you about, and you may think, oh, that's just a fictional story. But, you know, I got this thing here in Psalm 31. I don't dare try to quote it. I think I'll mess it up. Psalm 31, verses 19 and 20. Psalm 31, verses 19 and 20. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. There's something all stored up and stacked up for you. If you love the Lord like that, if you trust him publicly, you're not ashamed of him. It says in verse 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Now, I used to say you can go to the bank with this, but I don't know if I trust banks anymore. But the Bank of Heaven tells us all these things are waiting for us in this life and in the world to come. If we'll just honor him, love him, trust him, and be public about it. I have quit being afraid before men because I feel more afraid for them. I pity them. What they face. Many a time, Sue knows, I've said, what do they think they're going to get out of that kind of project? Well, I close with that reiterance of the matter of if you hate me, you love death. If you love me, you love life. You love your life. And I'm going to just close with 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. He that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. You know, he's there. He's real. He's alive. He's in your heart. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. I did kind of back up there. He that believes not God has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. Verse 11, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12, he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. I like things plain and simple like this. You have him, you have life. Now and forever. You don't have him, you don't have life. And the opposite of life is death. And what awaits a person is called the second death. The first death is just physical, separated from your body. The second death is separation from God forever. No second chances after that. No saying, oh, things could have been worse, or things can get better, because they won't. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to hear Lady Wisdom call. Now is the time to heed the words of Christ, His call for us to know Him and to follow Him and to trust our souls with Him as well as our lives that we live. And we don't want to make God a liar. He went to great detail in using an entire book to prove that Jesus Christ is His Son. I call it pre-documentation, what He has shown us in the past, hundreds of years earlier, all being fulfilled in the new. Nobody else could do this. Nobody else will get better than this. Jesus Christ is incomparable and His riches are unsearchable. So please join me in searching the Scriptures, in listening to the voices that are calling every day. Heed the voice of God's wisdom. And as God allows, we will pick on some of the topics, pick them out and discuss them in following weeks. But we leave you with this, and I recommend you to the grace of God. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank You for speaking. Thank You for speaking and bringing the universe into existence and populating the world with us, and for You loving us, making us in Your image and giving us hope and promise. Even after we fell in sin, You gave us hope and promise. And You promised Your Son, and You did send Him in the fullness of times. And we have His Word abiding with us, and we who have trusted Christ have His Spirit living within us till the day of redemption. But oh, that we might be washed with the water of the Word. Oh, that we might have the light of the Word on our path and keep us from those ditches, Lord, on either side. I pray, God, that You'll speak to us, speak through us. And in some way, if we can reflect Your goodness, that others might also benefit from what You've given us in Christ, that we can share it with others. So please give faith where it's needed. If anyone here needs Christ today, today is that day they should turn to You with all their heart and trust in Your Son. And for the rest of us, Lord, have faith to walk with You and to not heed the world, but to heed You. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.